listening to Maritime Morning with Andrew Crystal. Heard weekdays from 9 to noon on News 95.7. Now, here's Andrew.
Yes, this is Maritime Morning. How you doing today? Pleased to be with you. Tomorrow on the broadcast, Pulitzer-winning historian Rick Atkinson. As we get set for Remembrance Day.
Maybe it would be fun to get a new opinion, get a little work done, and forget.
Daryl Henderson joins us.
Maybe it would be cool.
He's the president of the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Organization. And Phil Doddridge is the president of the Hong Kong Veterans. You can join us, too, at 1-877-801-TALK. That's 1-877-801-8255 or 405-6000.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Can anybody hear me if I shed the
eye? Well. You know, I just never get tired of hearing from our elders. You know, so many cultures around the world pay far more deference and far more heed and extend far more care to the elders in our society than do we. And we like to think that we have the world by the butt, but we really don't. There's a lot we can learn about from other cultures. And one of those is respect and care of elders. Phil Doddridge joins us. He's the president of Hong Kong Veterans. As a 19-year-old, he was a prisoner of war by the Japanese, who were much crueler than the Nazis, although no one other than me seems to say that. I don't know, even though it's the truth. Daryl Henderson is the president of the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Organization. You can join us at 405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Who in your family was a veteran? I want to hear your story. Was it frustrating that the greatest generation didn't really talk about their experiences? It was even worse when folks came back from Korea, too. Phil Doddridge, let's talk about the Japanese sentry and the sake-laced rice they gave to birds. Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, well, we were on a work party, and of course there was always plenty of guards with us to make sure that we didn't escape, although where we were to escape was another matter. But, this guard used to soak rice in sake and then spread it on the ground, and little birds would come along and pick up the rice, and, of course, they would get drunk, I guess. They'd fall over, and he'd pick them up and yank their heads off and put them in his pocket, I suppose he intended to cook them and eat them. I didn't see that part of it, but I can't see any other reason why he would do that.
I'm glad I didn't go to Swiss Chalet with him.
I beg your pardon?
I'm glad I didn't take him to my favorite chicken restaurant.
but that was one little episode that stuck in my mind. But, you know, the worst... The scariest part of all, I think, was the diphtheria epidemic we had in one of the camps in 1942, an epidemic of diphtheria, and the Japanese refused to bring in the medication that the antitoxin to prevent or cure the disease, and our guys were dying off. Up to five a day, and they just refused to bring the serum in. Well, finally they did break down and bring it in, and if it hadn't been for that, I probably wouldn't be here today, because I did come down with diphtheria and I got a shot of the antitoxin.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable what you guys went through.
Oh, yes.
And so what? Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say they even beat up our doctors and blamed them for the deaths. Outrageous.
What did you eat when you were a Japanese prisoner of war?
What did I eat? I ate mostly rice. Would go for weeks and weeks at a time without any protein, and before too long, it began to show in our health that we were all walking skeletons, of course, but lack of protein, it soon affected our legs and arms and feet in particular. We developed a very painful condition of the feet, whereby we couldn't sleep, and it was just painful and very hard to describe because.
Interesting. Is talking about it a good thing or a bad thing? Nobody really did it much, and I'm pleased that you're doing this with me now, Phil, but the rule of thumb, really, and it was not like a pack people did or anything that was formally acknowledged, but nobody talked back then. Is that just a generational thing? Do you think soldiers will talk now about it, or is it pretty much going to be the same deal? Those returning from Afghanistan, will they be just as silent, do you think, Phil Goddard?
I think they'll be the same as we were. What I think, I don't mind talking to one of my buddies that was there, because we understand what we're saying. But to talk to somebody who wasn't there, first of all, you think, well, gee, this is so atrocious that they won't believe me, you know. So we're sort of a bit reticent about telling the whole story, if you understand what I mean.
Do you think you should?
Yeah, I guess so, but it's hard to do.
How many Hong Kong veterans are there left?
About 120, I think.
Yeah, 119.
119, there you go.
How many came back to Canada?
About 1,400, more or less.
Do you know how many died under the hands of the Japanese?
Almost 300, I guess. I think.
I think it was about 1,200 came back, Phil.
1,200?
Yeah, because okay. you lost a couple hundred in battle, and then there was about 300.
Yeah, 300. And about the same number in...
How were women treated? Were they, you know, just serially raped? Like, how bad was it for the nurses?
Well, we hear all sorts of stories, but I think our nurses... We had two nurses with us, of course, but I think that they escaped any kind of atrocity like that. I know one of the nurses was very close to us after the war, and she attended all our reunions right up until the time she died. The other nurse, we didn't see much of her because she moved to, I think, California after she came back. But the other one was, she was with us all the time, one of the guys.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. 1-877-801-8255 or 405-6000. I want to ask you, Daryl Henderson, president of the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Association, what can we learn by listening to veterans?
Well, I think we learn to understand ourselves, because as Canadians, whatever happens in our country's history is ingrained in us. And it's part of who we are. You know, not only do we have to respect and honor those people that give us the great country that we have, but they're part of us. And I think one of our biggest problems is that we do not. And in fact, the Governor General at Carleton University here in Ottawa last week mentioned that Canadian history needs more respect. And I think what she was getting at was that it's how we understand where we've come from as a country and as a people, and I think it's very important for new Canadians to know and be able to grasp this as well, because when they come, they bring certainly part of their cultures with them, and that's good, because that's what made Canada what it is. But they to become Canadians, they have to understand the history of how Canada came to be. And I do not think that at the present time enough is being done along these lines.
Tell me what you'd like to see.
Well, first of all, one of the big push, of course, is our memorial wall. And So, and I think there's three reasons why we want to erect this. The first of all is obvious, to honor these Canadian soldiers and nurses because that endured Hong Kong and the Japanese prisoners of war. Mostly these are unknown to Canadians, and unfortunately they're forgotten too often by the few that did know about it. In 2005, I had the privilege of accompanying Phil and a few other veterans to Hong Kong, and there was a group of students from the Durham region in Ontario here. And when we visited the Siwan Cemetery, to see the children, I shouldn't call them children, they were teenagers, to see them walk up and put their hands on the part of the memorial with the engraved names, like there's two stages to the cemetery. There's the actual graves below where the bodies were recovered, but in many, the bodies were not recovered because of shell bursts or cremation after death, which the Japanese insisted upon. And their names are all engraved in this monument at the top. And the children were running their hands over the names, and you could just almost feel the energy coming out of that into the kids. And that's one of the things we want to have done in our wall, because we plan to have every name of every Hong Kong veteran engraved on that wall. No ranks. And the reason for this is because in Japanese prisoner of war camp, the ranks were nullified, of course. But also, when the veterans came back, you could tell that there wasn't ranks. It was one uniform band of brothers. And in fact, at a very early reunion in the province of Quebec, one of the veterans in speaking used that term band of brothers, which I find interesting. When they came home, we became a Hong Kong family. I was born before the war, so I was a little bit older than most of the other children. But I can remember the Hong Kong veterans getting together in order to make uniform appeals to the government for conditions that the doctors in North America just didn't understand. And while the veterans were talking, I was chumming around with their kids. So the Hong Kong veterans formed a very unique family, and I think that's what has kept us all together for more than, for 65 years.
Phil Doddridge, do you have anything to say as a former prisoner of war under the Japanese? Do you have anything to say about, or to rather, the families of those serving in Afghanistan right now, or to the soldiers themselves that come back? What can you say to them? What words of wisdom can you impart?
Well, what I found most helpful in my case was the support of my buddies, and the most important thing of all, to be lean on each other, rely on each other to help and respect each other, and that is you derive more strength from that than any other way. My Hong Kong buddies to me are closer than brothers, and it's just a feeling that only you who are there can experience.
We're going to take a break. More as we lead up to Remembrance Day on Maritime Morning after this break. Joining us is Phil Doddridge. He's the president of the Hong Kong Veterans, and Daryl Henderson is the president of the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Association. 405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Did you get your father or grandfather to talk about his experiences? And what would you like to say to veterans, including those who cannot speak anymore? Back after 2 minutes.
Maritime Morning with Andrew Crystal is heard weekdays from 9 to noon on News 95.7. Now, here's Andrew.
Oh, yes, they are. Especially when you get to come back home. This is Maritime Morning. We're talking to World War II veterans.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Daryl Henderson is the president of the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Association. Phil Doddridge is the president of the Hong Kong Veterans. We're going to take your calls at 405-6000 or 1-877-801-TALK. Also ahead, Legal Tuesdays, the law with Lisa Terrell. That'll be ahead for you. Everything from fighting debt collectors to surviving the courtroom to terrorism. Hey, secret trials too. Just thank God your name is, forget it. But, you know, there is profiling going on with that, and that's a real concern to people of ethnic, extraction. They really are being targeted, and it's a concern. Not unlike Japanese internment during World War II, which was nothing like what we as Canadians had to endure under the Japanese, let us not forget. It was an unusual and cruel punishment. Daryl Henderson and Phil Doddridge, thank you guys for joining me today. I want to go to a phone call at 405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255 as we get set for Remembrance Day. What's your name, caller?
Hi, it's Mike from Halifax.
Go ahead, Mike. What is your question or comment to the Hong Kong veterans we have on today?
Well, first of all, as a serving member of the Canadian Armed Forces, as the son of a retired and very successful Army major, and on behalf of all of us, I'd like to say to Mr. Baldridge and all the veterans who are listening today, thank you for your perseverance, for your courage, and for your leadership. That's all really I need to say.
I appreciate the call. I'm sure Phil does as a former prisoner of war.
I certainly do, and thank you very much.
All right, now I want to ask you, I appreciate that call. Thank you so much. One, we know that Halifax is a military town, so 1-877-801-TALK or 405-6000. I want to talk to you about the Hong Kong Memorial Wall. What can we do to help keep the memory of what Hong Kong vets endured alive, and how do we help this wall? Daryl Henderson, do you want to comment on this?
Well, quite frankly, we just need money. So far, we've started a campaign asking various organizations and other charitable agencies and some governments to assist, but they have. But we're not where we need to be yet. We need to raise $100,000, and so we're asking Canadians to sign on to our website, and there's a spot there where you can click to donate, and every dollar helps to bring this to fulfillment.
All right, so we want you to go to the website. Where is this website?
It's on. You can go to hkvca.ca.
HKVCA?
Yes, .ca.
Uh-huh.
And then right on our homepage, there's actually a thing to the wall, and you can click on there to donate. But please take the time to, while you're there, to look at the whole thing, because you're going to get, not only are you're going to get the history of us, why we're there, what we're trying to do, but also on there are veterans that have put their own stories on, so you can have an opportunity of reading these. In fact, I think Phil's is still there.
Wow. 1-877-801-8255 or 405-6000. What I'm going to do on my blog, by the way, I currently have a post on news957.com, news919.com, and news889.com in St. John concerning Dwayne Dog Chapman and his issue over racial slurs. That's my current blog. I will tomorrow post something for the vets, and I will make sure that the Hong Kong Veterans Wall is a part of my blog tomorrow.
Most appreciated.
Yeah, and we're getting lots of people visiting it, and I would encourage everybody to, and please post your comments. Let's go to Jerry in Fredericton. Jerry, you want to say hi to Phil Doddridge, a former prisoner of war under the Japanese, who are unusually cruel, worse than the Nazis, and Daryl, except Poland or Russia. Daryl Henderson is also the president of the Hong Kong's Commemorative Association. Both join us. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, just a comment. I was with a service club previously, and we had a gentleman on, and I was going to introduce him as a Hong Kong vet, and he made it clear to me that he was a Canadian veteran of the Hong Kong War, and I just wonder if those guys are being a little, giving you a break on the way you're...
I don't know. Am I doing the wrong thing, Phil Doddridge?
Well, I don't know what is meant by the Hong Kong War. I would call it the Battle of Hong Kong, because it was in the battle of World War II. And I don't know what that means at all.
So I don't think that they're just being nice to me, Jerry. I don't know. Yeah. I seem to be hitting the ball here.
Okay, very best. I just actually, the gentleman I was talking about was the Korean. I had referred to them as Korean War vets, and they corrected me and said they were Canadian veterans of the Korean War.
That seems to be a bit weird.
Anyway, just a comment.
Seems to be strange. That's odd. The fact that you're taking the time to recognize Korean vets at all, something not enough of us do, I would be very thankful if I was a Korean vet. As a matter of fact, the new book out on Korea called The Coldest Winter by David Halberstam, who was killed in April of last year in a car accident. He's in his 70s.
Very few people know that 6 Hong Kong veterans returned to fight in Korea.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. You'd think they'd endured enough punishment. You know what was said about the Korean War, gentlemen? Everything that went right in World War II went wrong in Korea. Really, because you went into a peacetime mode, and a lot of the guys over there felt totally abandoned. You know, worse than the Bataan Death Marchers, the battling bastards of Bataan. No fathers, no sons, no Uncle Sam. Remember that? Something like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
They just felt abandoned, the folks on Bataan. And the Korean War veterans universally, and they came back and they were unheralded. So, you know, that was very difficult. Phil, did your heart wrench a bit for the Korean vets?
Yes. For years, it wasn't called the Korean War. It was called the Korean Conflict. And I was at a Legion annual meeting one time, and one fellow stood up and said, well, I was in Korea, and it was a war.
It sure as hell was. Something, too... you know, very dark, the Medak pocket in the 90s.
So guys
came back from that. Carol Offroad about it. And, you know, the Liberal government covered up the fact that there was a big firefight among our peacekeepers. And guys came back.